morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning for worship. It's the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, and we will be following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. Just a quick little note in regards to the order of service this morning. I didn't catch this this past week, but the placement of the choir piece is actually listed after the Alleluia verse, just before the Gospel. That's not a real good fit for the choir piece there. So we're going to move the choir piece to right after the responsive psalm. So for anybody who sings in the choir that has to make their way up top, just make note of that, that we're going to sing, you guys are going to sing right after the responsive reading. All right, so that's the only note in regards to the order of service. So with that, we'll continue with the confession and the absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord,
glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father,
the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our family hymn this week is Drawn to the Cross, which you have blessed. Hymn 356 in the Lutheran Worship. The lecture this morning is Rod Lorenz. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Rod.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with thongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 138 as it's printed in the worship bulletin.
I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowded around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats that belonged to Simon and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our faith now together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." This is your Hour with God, broadcast on Table A from St. John's Lutheran Church, Dubuque, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, WXRL.
dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. That's the first reading that that Rod read for us a few moments ago. Well, I have to admit that I'm a little heavy at heart to have to share this tough news with you. Our church has lost one of its most relied upon members. Now, you might know him. His name was someone else. Of course, whenever leadership, service in the church or the world, a job, a class to teach, or some other kind of project was mentioned, someone else was always the go-to guy. Someone else was the common refrain. See, people expected a lot out of someone else. But now, someone else is gone. I know. What are we going to do? We can't depend on someone else anymore. This little story, it struck me, and I think that someone else has probably snuck his way not only into churches, but our homes, our workplace, wherever. Someone else is there. But this little story struck me when I came across it this week, and I actually kind of hesitated on sharing it with you because I didn't want to cause offense. But then I thought, it really kind of emphasizes the importance of our individual call to serve. And as I thought a little bit more about it, if we're being honest with one another, as we should be in this place, my hunch is I think that we've all probably relied on someone else at one time or another in our lives, you and me included. And of course, there's all kinds of reasons why maybe we've put our dependence on someone else. We've already got too much on our plates. We're tired. We're too old. We're underqualified. Inadequate. We don't really have what it takes. I don't have that patience for that kind of stuff. Wait, how long is it going to last? Oh, I certainly can't do that. My favorite sitcom comes on at 7 p.m. What time did you say? Oh, you know, now that you mentioned that, that's just way too early for me. You know, it's the only day I can sleep in. Our willingness to serve, our willingness to serve as God has called us to serve, well, it sometimes comes with a little bit of hesitation because of our already busy schedules and our already consumed lives and, dare I say, even our own selfishness at times and our unwillingness to step outside of what's become our comfort zone. In the end, left to ourselves, the service that God is calling you and me to do very personally because of the gifts that He's given to us, well, it can very easily be looked past or deferred to someone else. But you see, friends, God is calling you and me to make a difference. He's calling each of us in this room to make a mark, to impact lives, to impact the world with the gospel. God wants to use us. He wants to use you and me to share His word, to share His love, to be His presence, just like He did with old Isaiah in that Old Testament reading. Now, don't be fooled. Isaiah's call and response That didn't come without a little bit of hesitation either. If you remember from that reading that Rod read for us, Isaiah had an encounter with God. But because of his sin, he saw himself as someone unworthy to be in the presence of God. And that's rightfully so. And even from Isaiah's experience, he knew that anybody else before him who was in the presence of God, well, they kind of died because they were unworthy to be in that presence. So you can understand where Isaiah is coming from with that whole unworthiness kind of stuff. But Isaiah also ranked himself as kind of inadequate, not caught out. But you see, it wasn't really about Isaiah's capability. It was about God. And it was about what God could do through Isaiah. And so God touched him. Remember that? His lips were touched with coal. God touched him. God did the remarkable. God forgave him, and God made him new. God called him and empowered him for service in his name. And in that newness and in God's power, what was Isaiah's response? You remember? Here am I. Send me. Friends, the same goes for you and for me. The God who once touched the lips of Isaiah with hot coal likewise touches you and me each and every day, doesn't he? And as God touches you and me, he gives to you and me that promise of forgiveness and that promise of new life through his Son Jesus, who died for us and who rose for us. And in the wonderfulness of our baptism, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are a forgiven people, and we too are a people who are made new. We're a holy people, a called people, a people then who are empowered to love and service in God's name. You see, when you and I get out of the way, when you and I put our excuses aside, when you and I begin to see the power of God at work through us, remarkable things can happen. Lives can be changed through us as the Spirit moves through us. Lives can be shaped as God's will and as his word are carried forward through us. The weight of sin and its effect can be lifted for people who have been held captive by it as we point them to Jesus, as we point them to his love and the freedom that can be theirs through him in his death and resurrection. Hope can be a reality for people that we know who have been consumed by hopelessness. People can be united. Bonds can be built and loving community nurtured as we see the value of one another, as we become the body of Christ, as we see the value of life. God is at work, and God is at work through each and every one of us. You see, it can't be someone else. God has called you and me to be a part of his kingdom. God calls you and me in unique and important ways, and we're the only ones who can fill that spot. And so I suppose the question for you and me is always, how is God calling us? How is God using us right here, right now, for the betterment of this world? How is God using us as individuals to share him, to share His love wherever we might be. Our serving happens in all different kinds of ways. And I'm convinced that at the end of the day, there is no greater joy than serving one another. Maybe at times we feel inadequate. Maybe at times we feel incapable. But here's something worth your thinking on. God doesn't want our capability. God wants our availability. And when you and I are willing to give of ourselves, God gives the capability. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve." You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Whatever our gifts are, whatever those gifts are, and whatever God has enabled us to do, you and me have a great honor and a call as believers and followers to use those gifts for the building up of His kingdom. And it's truly remarkable to think about the ways that our church, our homes, and our world can be impacted for the good through us. So you know something? Maybe you didn't like that opening illustration all that much. But maybe it isn't so bad that somebody else has left us. It opens the door for ministry, your service. Whom shall I send? Send me. Send me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning radio broadcast is sponsored by the Fred Haas family in memory of Rennie Haas.
addition to those who are printing the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for Rose Kirsch. Rose is recovering from some surgery this past week. For Sissy Blake's brother, Dave Thrun, who has a cancer diagnosis and will be undergoing treatments for cancer. For a good friend of my family, it's a friend of a friend is what it basically comes down to. But we're praying for a young woman by the name of Ryan. She's in advanced cancer, so please pray for her. For Eileen McElhaga, who's going to be having some knee surgery this coming week. For Vernon Floyd, that's Bob and Tony Chapman's son-in-law, who's recovering from cancer surgery. We say a special word of prayer for Betty Cavalieri and her family at the birth of her great-grandchildren, Kaylin and Calvin. So we keep them in prayers. They were premature. They're up at the hospital. She showed me the pictures this morning. It was a blast from the past. They were almost around the same weight of Matthew and Adeline. So they're under the good care of the NICU and doing well. But please continue to pray for them. Last but not least, if you would, say a special word of prayer for the Ream family. Dr. Ream was my Old Testament professor, my Hebrew professor at Concordia Bronxville. He was also the pastor at the church where I lived for 3 years. And I learned this week that it pleased the Lord to call Dr. Ream home. So please keep the Ream family in your prayers. And last but not least, the Lynch family, as they mourn the death of Don Lynch, a member of our congregation. Let's pray. O Lord, you are the maker of light and of all that is good. We thank and praise you that you rule all things, that you care for each of us, and that you want all people to know your mercy and love as it has been revealed in Christ Jesus. Continue to sustain us by your grace, that we may ever praise and adore your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. Father, let the light of your word shine in our midst and into the darkness of unbelief that surrounds your church. By your word, instruct us in your ways. Build up this congregation and all congregations and institutions of our synod, and bring all people to trust in your salvation and to glorify you. We pray especially for the Lasanti, Lazinski, Lomas, Loney, and Lorenz families, and all others in our congregation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord of hosts, watch over the nations of the earth. Let your will be done in every place. We ask that you especially defend and bless our nation, its leaders in every state, city, and town. Give them all a desire to serve faithfully in their callings for the welfare of one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, hear our prayers on behalf of all those in need. Restore health to those who are ill. We pray especially today for Rose, for Dave, for Ryan, for Eileen, for Vernon. We say a special word of prayer for continued healing for Kaylin and Calvin. Grant all of them patience and renewed strength. Bring comfort to those who mourn, especially the Ream and Lynch families. Assure them of the hope of eternal life through faith in your Son, and remind them that you are always with them. We pray also for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all compassion, watch over those who suffer the effects of war, violence, and natural catastrophe. Grant to your church renewed vigor to take the good news of salvation to all those who are with hope, without the hope of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend ourselves and all those for whom we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We
We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Closing hymn this morning is God Whose Almighty Word, hymn 315 in the Lutheran Worship.
Have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Good to see you. Good to be with you this morning for worship. I pray that you've been blessed in worship this morning. Again, it's just good, so good to be in this place together. A quick couple of announcements before you head off for the day. As you came into church these last couple of weeks, you maybe found yourself wondering, is Tom slacking? Why is the Christmas tree still up in the narthex? Tom's not slacking. Tom never slacks. Maybe the pastor slacks, but not Tom. The tree is up for good reason. I know you hate when I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
We would welcome.
I'll bring you a coffee.
Your support. Write a call or print off.
But anyway, the tree's up for good reason. Laura Tyrone, along with the Sunday school, they had an idea as we're moving into February, Valentine's, the month of Valentine's Day, and all that stuff.
gmail.com.
They felt that it would be kind of neat to hang a different kind of ornament on the tree. In a similar way, like we give the ornaments for Christmas time, and you know, we take gifts or take an ornament and purchase a gift for someone as an expression of love. Well, they felt that maybe that would be a good idea to continue that on. And so on the tree, there are a whole bunch of different ornaments, and there's ideas on the ornaments. Those ideas are ways that you can share love. That you can be a servant, kind of like what we talked about today. So I would encourage you, before you go, to take a look at that tree. See what those ornaments are, and take a look at the different ideas that are there. And that could be something that you do for someone else in the next couple of weeks. So I think the Sunday school kids would be thrilled if they saw that tree was empty. So not to make your conscience heavy, but let's not disappoint them. All right. So anyway, grab an ornament before you go. That would be great. Lenten devotionals. Lent's going to be upon us pretty soon. So if you would like a devotional book, once again, we are going to be placing an order for those this year. There's adult and youth devotional books. The sign-up sheet's up on the bulletin board. So you can but just sign up, let us know how many you want, and we'll make sure that the order goes through. The worship band, just to remind you, as Brad mentioned last week, we are looking for some help with the 11:15 praise band. So if you have a gift, instrument, singing, talk to Brad, and they should, you know, we'll incorporate you in whatever way that they can. All right. I think the only other thing we're out. You see, you can read the description of the worship assistant appreciation breakfast. That's coming up on March 2nd at 9. I don't know if there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for that or not, but if there isn't, we'll get one up there later. And the last thing is the spaghetti dinner, the annual dinner. That's coming up on February 22nd. It starts at 6 o'clock. Tickets are available today if you're interested in getting tickets. Is there somebody that I can get to help sell those? Anybody? Helena, thank you. Tickets are $5 per person. 12 and under are free. That's how I remember the council meeting, so if it wasn't, that's the way it is now. So that's the way you go. $5. Tony, I think that's what we said. I think five. So anyway, $5 a ticket, and we'll kind of structure it the same way that we did last year, kind of progressive meal, and we'll disperse little report as we go along. All right? Anything else for the good of the group that I might be forgetting? I got you at an on-time arrival at 9:30, which means the broadcast is over now. So we're done. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.